We're ringing because you have a massive celebration on your hands. I mean, you've got a tour, and the closest you're coming to us is the King's Beach Tavern on Saturday, the 17th of September.
Right, yep.
But it's hard to believe that it's 30 years of the Screaming Jets.
It is, and you don't even, I mean, when you're doing it, it's not like you look back and say how glorious the days were, because we're all, you know, you're kind of looking ahead, forging ahead, and hoping that the career keeps going, but it was a little bit strange to sit there and think 30 years ago we were in a studio in King's Cross recording this album, and, you know, it was nice to revisit it and re-record it rather than just remaster it.
You know, Dave, I remember the time, that early part of the 90s, the music was filled with dance. There was all this dance stuff on the radio, and then suddenly you guys broke out with Better, and it was like everyone just stood up and went, what the hell is this? Like, Aussie rock is back. Why do you think your song cut through with all the technotronic stuff?
Yeah, I don't know. It was a strange time, as you say, for music, because we've gone from that 80s period where there was, you know, any number, Ice House, In Excess, The Angels, The Radiators, Choir Boys. It was just such a huge time for Aussie music, especially on tour and on the radio. But as you say, things had gone a bit stale by the 90s, and we were lucky enough to be around at the same time as the Baby Animals, and kind of lucky enough as well to get taken on the road by the Angels, which kind of gave us an exposure to a big rock crowd. And yeah, it just came out of the blue. But
what did you learn from a group like the Angels? What did they teach you?
Oh, hard. They worked hard, man. We did 42 dates in 50 days, I think.
Jeez.
And they worked hard, and every night Doc was just electric. Not to say that the rest of the band members weren't, but I was just looking at Doc mostly because he was just so mesmerising as a front man. So, yeah, just get up and do it again. That's what we learned from those guys.
And I know we're here to speak about the Screaming Jets, but you obviously front the Angels as well. I mean, it's no mean feat to be the front man for two iconic bands and also to have your own radio career. I wonder if you get any sleep, you know, just on a personal level. I just don't know how you manage it, Dave.
It's actually awesome. I mean, the 2 years that were imposed with COVID, you know, I'd had some time off music before, but that was by choice. But then to be told you can't do it was kind of very, very difficult to take. But yeah, now we're 2022. That's all in the rearview mirror. I just finished 5 months with the Angels, and I've got 3 months with the Jets. So,
which we're very much looking forward to.
Only 3 months, Dave? I mean, come on. I'm thinking there's 12 to 18 months in this.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've got another album that we've got to record. We're going to be working on that while we're kind of on the road. And, so, you know, hopefully have that for 2023. And, yeah, look, I think next year's already getting filled up with dates as we speak. So,
Dave, how different is it touring now? I mean, when I first saw you in concert, it was at a place called the Blue Moose, which was a nightclub in Mackay.
Mackay,
yes. And I've said on this show before, you have the most hypnotic eyes when performing. Honestly,
I remember being flirting.
No. Sorry, I apologise for my co-host, Dave. But I remember just being up against the barrier there in Mackay, and the stage is about, I don't know, it's probably 2 foot off the ground, so you're really in close proximity. And hypnotised by your eyes, and it was such an energetic performance, but that would had to have been, I'm guessing, 20, 25 years ago, somewhere in that vicinity. Yeah. How different is it touring now, you know, a little bit older, a little bit more experienced, and bigger venues, obviously.
Yeah, it's actually much easier now because when they started doing the cheaper flights, everyone started flying around everywhere instead of driving, which was, you know, if you had a gig on the Gold Coast on the Saturday night, and then you had to be in Cairns for a Tuesday night show, you had to drive up there, which was excruciating, quite frankly. But now we kind of fly. We're like FIFOs. We fly in, do 3 or 4 shows, and then fly back home. Be normal. I mean, back in the day, we'd play 6 gigs a week, and usually have Monday night off, which was when you're supposed to wash your clothes. We never washed our clothes.
You smell like rock stars too, is that right?
No, it doesn't stop the groupies though, Dave, does it?
We just go out on a Monday night to an industry night somewhere and it all start again. So, yeah, that's it. You get to take care of yourself much better these days.
And this is what changed 30 years on. You think of that time on the road with the boys. I mean, that forges a band when you're young. I mean, there's stuff on the road that stays on the road no one will ever understand. Now you're almost like corporate guys getting together 30 years on. Do you become more corporate? Or do you still, you know, is that rock youth in you still ingrained somewhere, Dave?
I think you just become more conscious of the fact that people are paying good money to see you and that you've got to put on a great show. And back in the day, you know, you'd get on stage in some states that were pretty well, and I don't mean states of the country, I mean states of silliness.
Yes.
But you become corporate. I mean, we still drink Jack before we go on stage.
Do you really?
Yeah, of course you do.
Wow, so it's still rock and roll, right? Like it's still exactly like we imagine it to be of the Screaming Jets.
It's not as loose as it used to be. We're not picking people up from chicks' places that they've met last night, stuff like that anymore.
Nobody's got time for a 2-day hangover anymore. That's the problem,
no,
Dave.
Exactly.
Who's got time to be loving 400 women in one town? You know, Dave. As you get to our age, mate, you start to slow down and realise, you know what?
You're a one woman man.
I'm a five woman man.
Yeah, that's more like it.
Dave. Somewhere along the line, I heard that you won a local talent competition as a kid, right? With a friend. Is that true?
There was no nakedness going on.
No nudity, right?
No, we're 12 years old, so it would have been kind of a bit cringy if there was any nude people. But, yeah, we sang the Monsters Holiday at Cardiff Workers Club.
Oh, Fifi, Fifo, Farmer. Yes, I remember that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was about the same.
I actually ran into Paul Kerr, who I did it with. I hadn't seen him for, 30 years or so. Oh. And, we caught up in Canberra last time I was there. It was funny because he's not in a band or anything, but to have his name, to be a part of that story, he's stoked that it's part of Wikipedia history.
That's brilliant.
Hey, I got to ask you, Dave, which town rocks the hardest? I mean, we were talking to Jim Brewster from the Angels a couple of weeks ago. He said no one rocks harder than Mount Isa in Queensland. Where do you find it going crazy?
I'm going to be biased and say Newcastle.
Yeah, Newey.
You know, hometown, and it always gets a bit raucous because you got mates in the crowd. They egg you on.
Have you done Newcastle yet?
We did with the Angels. We did Belmont 16 Footers Club, which is about as close as we get into Newcastle now. There's Newcastle workers there, but it's kind of lost a bit of its sheen.
Yeah.
And then there's the Entertainment Centre, which is like a 6,000 seater. So that's a bit ambitious, but yeah, we get to Belmont, which is just on the outskirts of Newey.
It raises a good question, though, Dave. Is it better or worse performing in front of people that you know?
Oh, it has its moments. depending on, a few years ago, I met up with my brother and one of my mates from Newcastle at around the corner from the gig we were doing. Had 10 schooners and went on stage. And
how was your performance that night, Dave?
That wasn't great.
Always.
It wasn't great at all.
I mean, memorable for those that saw you, but maybe not your best.
Not me. I can't remember.
You've got your own kids now, Dave. How would you feel if your kids wanted to go into rock and roll stardom? Is it something that you encourage in your house or discourage?
The kids play drums and guitars and stuff like that. So, yeah, they love their music. My daughter was out at the concert last night. So if they decide they wanted to do it, then sure.
Music's been good to you, hey, and you've been good for music.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, look, the reviews so far have been amazing. I mean, the talk about that first show you did in Adelaide, people are still going on about it. So you guys haven't lost anything in 30 years. If not, it's only got better.
No, we actually we made a rod for our own back with that energetic stage performance thing.
Because
if I get up there and just stand there like an old fart, you know, if people are going to go, see, they did get old.
If you pull out the Zimmer frame, you're in trouble, mate. We're going to be like, where's the Screaming Jets? Fair dinkum. Where's Dave Gleason in his eyes?
When you do the 50th, mate, do a retro thing and go back to the suit and tie. That'll kill him.
Perfect. I'd get a mohawk again.
Mate, before we let you go, do you have a favourite song from the Screaming Jets?
Look, they're all kind of very close to their hearts, obviously. But I guess Helping Hand's a great one to play because it's got that, you know, once it kicks into the chorus, the crowd just goes absolutely nuts. Mm. So I'd probably say that. And, of course, Better. I mean, you play Better.
That's my favourite.
And the room goes berserk. Yeah. So
you leave that to the end, do you?
Well, this tour we're doing it, the album in order, so it comes up fourth song in the set.
Yeah, right. Hey, one song I always loved you guys doing, I know it's not yours, but your interpretation of Barry Maguire's Eve of Destruction, I mean, that just does it for me, mate. Well, why did you want that song? Why did you get that on the album?
Well, my first manager used to make mixtapes and say, you guys should do this or you guys should do that. And I had a mixtape back in the day when there was a tape deck in the Tarago. Now it's all Bluetooth in a Kia Carnival.
I can't imagine you in a Kia Carnival.
You bet. It was just a song that came up again, and obviously didn't need to change any of the lyrics because it's all pretty much it was still relevant at the time that we did it. So I just threw a swear word in there to make it more Jet.
Dave,
you are an absolute legend. We congratulate you on 30 years of the Screaming Jets, mate, an iconic Australian band, some ripper songs, and we wish you all the very best for the tour.
Thank you so much. Can't wait to get out there and get Jet pumping again.